In today's gospel, Christ resists the temptations of the evil one. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with the hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One day, a lion was roaming around the jungle. Now, this lion had a pretty high image of himself, held himself in pretty high esteem. He knew, or thought he was, the lord of the jungle. He wanted to be sure everybody else knew that too. He comes across a tiger, grabs the tiger by the throat, throws him down, growls at him, "Who's the lord of the jungle?" Tiger, shivering, says, "It's you, almighty beast, it's you. You're the king of the jungle. No one should ever doubt it." Lion says, "All right, and don't you ever forget that." A little further on, comes across a bear, grabs the bear, throws him down, growls at him, "Who is the lord of the jungle?" The bear, "No question about it, almighty lion, you are the lord of the jungle. Don't you forget it." Lets him go. A little later on, he comes across an elephant, big, huge elephant. Says to the elephant, "Who is the lord of the jungle?" Elephant doesn't say a word. Takes his trunk, wraps it around the lion, picks him up, whirls him around three or four times, smashes him into a tree. Lion comes down the tree, lying there, panting, bleeding, looks at the elephant and says, "Hey, buddy, no sense in getting so upset just because you don't know the right answer." Interesting little story, I think, that helps us to understand what the season of Lent is supposed to be for us. Because the season of Lent is supposed to be like that elephant picking up the lion and throwing him against the wall. Lent is a time for us to be picked up and thrown against the wall of God's reality. You see, the lion had an image of himself, an image of the world, of the way the world, he thought the world was, and he had kind of lost sight of reality. Sometimes we can be like that. We lose sight of God's reality, and Lent is a time to pick us up and throw us against that reality and help us to rediscover who we're supposed to be. At Lent, the beginning of Lent, it's good for us to reflect a bit on what the vocation of human beings is. If we look back to the very first human beings, Adam and Eve, and all through the scripture, it's clear that God has a vocation for us. And the vocation is this. We are supposed to worship God in thanksgiving for all of his goodness, and we're supposed to govern the world rightly in his name. We see that from the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden. God gives them dominion over the world, rule the world in God's name according to God's will, and worship and thank God for everything. That's our vocation. We see the same thing when Christ comes to put things back together, because human beings didn't do that. When Christ comes to put things back together, he teaches us the same thing. He says, somebody asks, what's the greatest commandment? What's he say to them? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What's that mean? Worship God and take care of one another. Organize the world the way God wants it. That's our vocation. So, whether we are a doctor, a nurse, a construction worker, a retail worker, a teacher, a priest, whatever we do, we're supposed to be doing those things, thanking God and organizing the world according to God's will. That's our vocation. The problem is, we get distracted. Problem is, we let some things get in the way and make us forget reality, God's reality. We set up our own reality, like that lion did. And the reality that we set up is captured in the temptations that Christ faces in today's gospel. We're all faced with those same temptations. And when we give into them, which Christ doesn't, we're not fulfilling our vocation. What's the first temptation? To make the center of your life material comfort. Bread. That symbolizes not just food and drink, but material comfort. Make that the most important thing in your life. Do you and I do that? Now, there's nothing wrong with material comfort. We're material beings. I said to you before, we are not Puritans. God's made a beautiful world. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to rejoice in all the good things he's given us. But when we make them the center of our life, the most important thing in our life, that's where we go offline. So how would you know, how would I know that we're not making material comfort the center of things? Well, maybe by a couple of little questions. First of all, are you ever satisfied with what you've got? Is there always something more you need, something more you want? Remember some years ago now, the comedian George Carlin. Now, George Carlin, some of you probably remember, he was a little bit of an off-color guy sometimes. But he had some very interesting insights. He had one skit where he's talking about somebody who's buying a new house. And he says to this person, well, you're going to get a new house? The guy says, oh yeah, we're going to get a bigger house, a bigger house. And he said, well, why do you need a bigger house? The answer was, we need room, more room for all our stuff. Why do you need a bigger house? Well, we need more room for all our stuff. Is that the way we are? You ever, you know, are you the kind of person, am I the kind of person, who when we're feeling low, we're feeling down, how do we want to get out of the doldrums? We'll go buy something. Buy something that makes us feel temporarily better. All of our stuff, is our stuff the center of our life? Another way of answering that question would be to look at how much do we really share with those in need? How much of our stuff do we share with those who are truly in need? Now, one of the, I suppose you'd have to say, inspiring things that's happening as a result of this horrible conflict in the Ukraine is to see the reaction of people in these neighboring countries into which all the Ukrainians are fleeing, Poland, Moldova, Hungary. See the buses pulling up in the stations and the trains pulling in and all these refugees getting off with nothing but what they can carry with them. You see these people there, hundreds of them, thousands of them, with food and clothing for them and signs that say, I have a room in my house where you can stay. Those people are sacrificing. Are we like that at all? If we are satisfied with what we've got, more or less, and if we do share, then maybe material comfort is not the center of our life, and we are fulfilling our vocation. Second temptation, power. That's what the devil is saying to Jesus. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Power. That can be a serious seduction for us. What motivates Vladimir Putin? Power. Control. And what's the first thing when you're looking for power and control that tends to be put on the wayside? Truth. Look at what he's telling the people of his own country about why he's doing all this. It's all disinformation. It's all lies for the sake of power. But are we any different in our country? Don't we get lied to all the time? Those lies come from all quarters. They come from our politicians sometimes. They come from advertising agencies. They come from business. People want to have power over us, so they'll lie to us. Power. But even in our own lives, is it possible that power seduces you and me too? In your family, you try to manipulate the other members of your family? Get them to do what you want them to do all the time? Do you always have the last word? Are you the king of your house or the queen of your house? Is it my way or the highway? Power. But if we live that way, chances are we've forgotten what our vocation is, to worship God and rule the world in His name according to His will. Finally, the temptation to glory, honor. Throw yourself down from the temple here. Let people see this great show and people will be amazed at you. They'll think you're wonderful. How much do people do and say to be well thought of, to be admired? You know, you see, for example, so often the entertainment world, figures of the entertainment world, they'll do anything or say anything to get their picture in the paper. Crazy sometimes what they say and do. To be noticed, to be admired. What about you and me, though? We all want to be well thought of, but what do we do for that? Do you tell people what they want to hear, even though you know it's not the best thing they should hear, because you want them to admire you? Do you refrain from speaking the truth because you don't want people to think badly of you? Or again, would you feel ashamed if somebody caught you wearing a pair of off-the-rack jeans from Target rather than wearing a pair of authentic Levi's? Would you feel embarrassed if people saw you with a pair of those no-brand, no-name jeans? Would they admire you? So what do we do to be honored? If we make honor and glory the center of our life, have we forgotten our vocation then? So, as we gather here this morning at the beginning of Lent, let's remember what Lent is all about. Throwing us up against the reality of God, reminding us of who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, what our lives are supposed to be about. The worship of God and the running of the world in His name according to His will. Our Lenten theme above the main door, transfigure us, O Lord. Lord, let us see where we need to change. With your grace, change us. Make us more fully what we are supposed to be for you. Help us see that reality and become that reality, not something else. May God bless you.